I remember we were speaking over the phone. And well, first, how you got on my radar was Daniel D. Calvo. That's my boy out there. Shout out to Daniel. He actually is the reason why I started all of this shit.
Yeah.
He was an editor with Concrete. He's also got his project, which we're going to be talking about aliens and shit like that, obviously, your project. But yeah, man, how'd you get linked up with Daniel? How do you know Daniel?
A friend of mine, Javier Hernandez, I think he was on Daniel's podcast, and he told me about it, and then I looked into it, and I read his whole backstory about how, you know, the whole thing of how he came to this country and how he got into comics, and it was just really interesting. And then I just happened, I think that week, I found his Andy Starboy book at a store, and I was like, this is cool, and I reached out to him, asking him, when's the next one coming out? And he was like, oh, I'm working on something else, and, you know, I'll get to it eventually, and he was, and we just started talking from there.
That bastard, yo. I kept telling him. I was like, yo, we need a second one, bro.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Shout out to Daniel. But I mean, let's introduce this real quick. Everybody, for today's episode, I have somebody that I've been excited to sit down with. Like I said, Daniel told me about a story that I had. I didn't get a chance to read it yet. I know the Kickstarter is live now. But I have Peter Malini. He is the owner of Nostalgic Comics. So if you're out in California, Southern California in the LA area, make sure you guys visit him. And he is also the author of Gordo, the Teenage Flying Saucer. Yeah. Freaking dude who gets powers from a flying saucer. That has my name written all over it, bro. So let's get into that. Talk about it. How'd you get that idea? I saw some of the things that... that inspired you, but I want you to say it.
So it's funny. It's actually, so me and my writing partner, Miguel, we had found a list of like 400 public domain characters, like public domain superheroes. Okay. And that was like a big thing at the time. Like a lot of people were like revamping like public domain heroes. And we went through them and we were like, you know what? We went away for a week and we're like, when we come back, you pick a couple, I'll pick a couple and we'll figure it out. And the one we both agreed on.
Wait, pause for a second. What the hell is a public domain character?
Oh,
for the people who don't know what that is. Of course, I know what it is.
Basically characters that no one holds the rights to anymore, either because the company's went out of business and they didn't renew it, or after like, I think it's like 60 years or something like that. Like, you know, it just, you know, people, you can't, get the rights for it anymore. So it just becomes a public, like Sherlock Holmes, some of his stories are public domain, like Dracula, Frankenstein, a lot of that stuff. It's just anyone could do it.
Wait, so you could take, like, you can't take the character Dracula, can you?
Yeah, but you can't do like the Universal Studios version, but you can do like the original Dracula or your version of Dracula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It's pretty crazy because stuff has been going on for so long. Like next year, the original Mickey Mouse, like Steamboat Willie, is public domain.
Wait, time out. Disney didn't like, yo, let's scoop up this freaking IP right here. They just leave it out there for anybody to take?
Well, no, but the thing is, so it was supposed to be really 60 years. Now it's like 90 years because Disney kept on trying to like extend that law. But now it's gone as far as it can go. So like next year, you can use the image of like Steamboat Willie, and yeah, it's public domain.
That's funny. Yeah. That's cool. I don't know if anybody's gonna use that shit, but I don't know, maybe.
Well, cause was it last year or 2 years ago? Like Winnie the Pooh became public domain, and that's why they made that horror movie.
That's crazy. Oh, yeah. The horror movie Winnie the Pooh. Really? So that's where shit like that comes. That's how you could get. I was wondering. I was like, yo, Disney really let Winnie the Pooh serial killer monster slide? Like, what the fuck? That's crazy. All right, there you go. That explains a lot now.
But there's a lot of little details. And like Winnie the Pooh is like public domain, but not the one with the red shirt. That's a Disney property. So it's complicated. Yeah.
The killer, I feel like the killer had a red shirt.
He probably did. I think he had like a flannel, right? Or something.
Yeah, he had something on. It's like, yo, if I saw a yellow bear with no pants on with like a fucking machete running after me,
right,
I'm hightailing it out of there.
Yep.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so we were looking. at the time, there was a lot of people doing that. They were finding public domain characters and like revamping them, making them more modern or whatever.
Okay.
And we came across this character called the Fat Man, the Human Flying Saucer. And it was created by the guys that created Shazam. Right?
Really?
And it was their follow-up to Shazam. And it only lasted 3 issues. And they gave up on the company altogether.
Wait, wait.
Yeah.
So we're talking about like Shazam, like DC, like. So they went from Shazam. I mean, yeah, I guess if I mean, it depends on what era, because then I was gonna ask you because, and I don't know if you could see like their art styles and or like sheets and shit like that, but your character or at least the design of it reminds me of when I used to watch like WB cartoons and Cartoon Network, like shit like that. I forget what's the name of that dude who had like the robotic arms and he had the red jacket and the sunglasses. I forget his name. But yeah, it kind of reminded me of that, or something like a Ben 10.
So the basically I hunted down those 3 issues. There's only 3 issues that exist. We read through them and they're so silly. They're so over the top and weird. And so we were like, let's adapt this. Let's do something with this. And we tried for like years. Like we did like a straight adaption. It was just like too silly. And we tried to do like a serious version. We tried to do like different versions. And eventually we came to the conclusion that if we made him a kid, you could be a little goofy, but still, tell a serious story, And that's what, but the thing is now we developed it for so long that like now the book is more inspired by those books. Like it's not, it's so different from those original books.
Yeah. That's good. That's good though. You got your own identity now.
And
Cool.
so it's just fun. Like we keep telling people it's like an old school like 60s era like superhero book. Like it's not too crazy, it's not too violent, but it's also like it's an all ages book, so like kids can get into it, but there's stuff in there for like adults that like the kids won't get,
Nice, nice. That's always like the best when you have like the stuff for kids, but then there's like a sprinkle of adult stuff in there. That's like Nickelodeon back in the day. I like that. I like that. So, all right, cool. So you guys flipped the name. So it was originally called Fat Man, but now it's Gordo. I know Gordo is fat or fat boy, fat man, whatever in Spanish. Is that the same in Italian too?
I have no idea.
You don't speak
Maybe.
Italian?
No.
All right. Yeah, it's very rare to find an Italian that speaks Italian. I
No.
grew up in New York, Long Island. Like, it doesn't get more Italian than that, other than maybe like the Bronx or something. But nobody that I knew that was Italian spoke Italian.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All right. So we got Gordo, and his superpower is he basically has like a suit from a UFO.
Sort of, yeah. So he's got this what do you call it? We call it the bio ship. So it's an energy that's literally in his cells and it transforms him into pieces like so he essentially could turn into a flying saucer, but it's more of like yeah, like he's like a suit. So like he's got these like rocket boots and he's got these like gauntlets and he's got this like chest plate that has like a tractor beam on it and stuff like that,
I like it. I like it. I like it. When you guys made this, or even like now, like you have your Kickstarter up, and I'll post a link of it in the YouTube description and Spotify and all that shit. Are you making this with the aspect of, hey, this is just gonna be specifically a comic, or down the road are we looking at animation a little bit?
I mean, that's a goal, I think, and anything is just kind of like expanding and whatnot. But no, like you said, like we're right now it's specifically a comic. Like if someone wants to do something with it, that'd be amazing. Like we joke around all the time about like movies and animated and stuff like that. Like we me and my creative team, we actually joked around like kind of fan casted it and the whole thing,
Gotta find that fat kid, yo. Yo, fat
Yeah.
kids back in the freaking 90s, legendary. Goldberg, the Goldberg from Mighty Ducks and Heavyweights, fucking what's the name? Porter or Ham from Sandlot. Fucking legendary kids right there. All right, so now and I'm gonna bounce around a little bit. Like I said, we like to chill. So you own your own comic book shop. I don't think I've sat down with anybody that has actually owned their own comic book shop. so many different ways that I could, you know, ask you a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. But owning your own shop, where do you see the state of comic books as far as people purchasing, interest in comic books, all of that stuff right now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. Like, so I've owned the store 11 years this month. Yeah.
There we go. Anybody that has a business that's over 2 years over, clap it up, clap it up.
That's right. You know, it has its ups and downs. Like we were closed for a couple months through the pandemic. Mm. And then we had to like really literally change everything and like how we did things post pandemic. And the thing is, like, it's weird. Like literally when the pandemic, when the lockdown ended, like everything shot up. It was crazy. Like we were doing the best we had in years. And now I feel like it's leveling out. You know,
motherfuckers was home bored.
Yep. But I think it's leveling out now. I think, you know, it's weird. Like, you see stuff all the time. Like, you see, like, some of these big studios, they're, like, you know, shutting down or, like, well, they're not paying people and stuff like that. And it's crazy, but it kind of makes sense because I think it's people are being more picky with what they're getting. Mm. But, I mean, as far as from my point of view, we see the same people almost every week. Like, you know, like it's pretty constant. It's pretty, you know, we've had some issues here and there, but I feel like it's all right so far. Like, I think every couple of years people freak out. They're like, oh, this is the death of the industry. Like, you know, like when digital comics started becoming a thing, they're like, oh, no one's going to want print books anymore. I always tell people the same thing. There's still record stores. You know what I mean? like people still like, you know, they like what they like, you know what I mean? And it's like,
Taylor Swift just sold an insane amount of like physical copies of her actual album. She did physical and digital. Fuck streams. So, yeah. I mean, people still like to have an actual physical product.
And you know, it's funny. Like, I think it's really rare that I hear people say that they prefer digital comics over print comics. Most people that only read print digital is only because like, well, they just want to check it out. They're not, you know. Because the thing is, it'll never overtake it, because digital comics, pure digital comics would lose the freaking collectability of it. Like, what's the point at that point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say the best thing about actually having physical is that it's like you have it. It's like a badge of honor. It's like a souvenir. It's like yours. Especially the ones that like put numbers on it. It's like, yo, you got number like 200 or version 200. Oh shit! Like, that's dope. But yeah, there's definitely a place for physical copies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So that's cool. So I think everything's good. Cool. I mean, you never know, but I mean, I think no one could have predicted, you know, what happened in 2020, you know?
Yeah. I wish I predicted, I would be so far ahead of where I am right now. It's not even funny. I started all of this after COVID. It was because of COVID, but like I really got into gear after COVID, and I missed that wave of just the attention span, and people were able to grow their platforms, grow their business, just grow whatever, because you had everybody's attention span. It was locked in. And, you know, who knows? We may not see something like that ever again in our lifetime, but maybe we will. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I hope it's not like that severity where it's like a COVID situation. Maybe it's like something else, but but that's good. So you have your comic book store. You've been around for 11 years. You have the regulars that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any trends with the comic books that you hold? The ones that like immediately go off the shelves?
No, man. You know what? I wish I was able to predict that kind of stuff. Like, a lot of times, it just happens. Right? You never know. Like, and it sucks too, because you really can't plan for it. Because there's times when, like, you know, the studios will tell us, like, oh, this is going to be big. This is going to be big. And then you're like, okay, cool. And then it's not. Like, you know, like, it's just, you know, it's the most randomest things that blow up, you know?
Do you look into like the way the companies market the comic?
I mean, sort of. Like,
release it.
Yeah, like the marketing for comics, like mainstream comics, is weird, man. Like you can tell what they're banking on by what they're marketing.
Yeah.
But like, literally, like there's books that some of my favorite books on the shelves right now, like, get no freaking like marketing love, you know? Like I'll tell people about like right now there's this Doom Patrol book out by DC. It's probably the most fun book that they put out in years. And I'll tell people about it and they're just like, there's a Doom Patrol book? Like, you know what I mean? Like
Yo, you know what's funny? I've been trying to find the fucking. No, I'm sorry, not Doom Patrol. What the fuck is it? It's the new shit that James Gunn is coming out with. Creature Commandos. I was trying to find that digitally, actually, and I couldn't find a way to get it off of the DC app. So I was just like, all right, I kind of gave up there. So that kind of sucked for them in that aspect. But yeah, so you say that you recommended Doom Patrol, and people are like, yo, what the fuck is that? Or they have a Doom Patrol fucking series out? I thought it was just like a TV show.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I feel like in both studios, both Marvel and DC, like they bank on their like, yo, there's so many Spider-Man books. There's so many Batman books out right now. And it's just kind of like, it gets to the point where like, you gotta kind of like branch out, man. Especially like those studios that they've been around for like 80 years. They have so many characters that they could be like pushing, you know?
It's fucking money though. It's money and it's the popularity of the actual character. So that's why it's like that character is the marketing. You know, you come out with a new Spider-Man book, it's like Spider-Man, like that's all you really need is the name. There's other characters, like I see you got your Superman shirt on. Me, I'm like, it's like I like Superman, but it's like he's just so boring to me. I don't know.
I got you.
He's one of those where it's just like he's too perfect. He's too perfect. And I know he has stories where he's not perfect, but I'm more of a Batman fan.
I got you. I got you.
Let's start with DC. Out of DC, who's like the most popular that everybody picks up?
I think it's Batman. I think anytime there's a new Batman book, you know, like I the one thing I noticed the other day, and I was like talking to a friend of mine, it drives me nuts that DC pushes Batman Day. That's like this Saturday. And they make a big thing out of it. They have free books and they do all this stuff, right? But Action Comics number one, like the thing that started DC, the first version of Superman, came out in September as well. And they never talk about that shit.
It's because fucking Batman is the fucking truth, man. He's a fucking legend. He's not perfect. He's like super rich, but he's like traumatized dramatically. And he has cool fucking villains. Like all his villains have mental health problems. And it's like everybody in America has mental health problems. And we fucking relate to fucking Joker and fucking Riddler and all that shit.
That's a
But
little scary.
yeah, it's a little scary. It's a little scary. But America's a little scary. The world's a little
That's true.
scary. So
That's
there you
true
go.
too. That's true too.
Cool. So we got that now out of Marvel. Which ones are like the hotcakes, the ones that like sell immediately?
Oh, you get the Spider-Man books. Like most Spider-Man books will fly off the shelf, man. Like, and then post like Spider-Verse, like when those movies come out, it shoots up a lot, you know. Like, and you know, Marvel's really dumb when it comes to that though, because I don't know how they didn't realize that Spider-Punk was going to be a huge character, because there's no Spider-Punk book right now. Like they should have done a miniseries that the team.
I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't think they knew that Spider-Punk was going to be as popular as they expected it to be. Like, obviously, it was like one of the main characters, but what do we love, and what do like black people love? And we love fucking Daniel Kaluuya, who does the voiceover. We love the way he talks. Like, he talks like an authentic top boy or whatever you want to call it from London. Like, we like that shit. To be honest, I don't know if anybody at Marvel was going to be able to call that.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, that especially in America, but yeah, they need to they got to get on that. Now, out of both of them, even though you have the t-shirt on, but you know, whatever. Out of both Marvel and DC, which one inspired you to create your own comic?
That's a tough question. It's somewhere in the middle. Like I say, like you know, I like to tell people that it's funny because I had always thought about this, but one day I talked to a scout from Scout Comics, an editor from Scout Comics, who literally told me that he felt that that first issue of Gordo was it felt like early Spider-Man.
Really?
And I was like, oh, that's fucking cool.
That's
Because,
a
you know,
fucking good compliment right there.
And I always had that in mind because, like he has a secret identity. And I feel like that's something that's kind of gone away in recent years.
Yeah.
Like that used to be like the most important, when I was a kid growing up, like that was the most important thing in a superhero thing. Like every superhero book had the subplot of like, oh shit, someone's gonna figure out I'm so and so. Like, or like I can't let this person figure out, And now it's like so many people know the identities. Like it's like the general public obviously don't know, but like you read like the current Miles book and like his family knows. His fucking he's has like he's had like three different girlfriends in the last couple of series, and he's told them all, right?
I wonder if it has anything to do with, obviously we know the rule. It's like, if you're a superhero, wear a mask. You don't want people around you to get hurt. But, and that was the same way with kind of celebrities, like back then. Like, celebrities had this specific mystique. Like, you didn't know where they lived. You didn't know their favorite food. Like, you didn't know shit about the celebrities. You would see Will Smith in Independence Day, Fresh Prince, and then that's it. You didn't even know if he had kids or anything. But now in today's day and age, it's like, yo, we see Jeff Bezos every single day on social media. So we already know it. It's like, yo, if these multi-billionaires don't have enemies and their families are safe, then maybe us as a suit, like if I had superpowers, I always think it's like, yo, I might be flashy as fuck. It's like, if I was Spider-Man, if I want everybody to know that B-minus TV is rescuing your ass, so you better like come correct, right? Bring presents and shit. I don't know. That's just like my wild thinking. But I don't know. Maybe that's what it is now. It's like, you can be a little bit more flashy with your superpowers.
Yeah, because you think about it, if they were to do Spider-Man now, instead of selling pictures to like the Daily Bugle or whatever, he would just become like an influencer, right? Like he would just make money that way, right?
No, I never even thought of that. I wonder what they're gonna do with Tom Holland Spider-Man now, because it's like you're not taking pictures of yourself and giving it to the Daily Bugle. It's like, yo, create your own Instagram and TikTok, and you freaking blow up like that. That's smart that you brought that up. I never even thought of that.
It's probably and it's because there's always that running joke where there was like an issue of She-Hulk where She-Hulk talked Spider-Man into suing J. Jonah Jameson. But the whole thing at the end was that they realized, well, even if he won, he couldn't pay him because he's Spider-Man. Like, he can't just hand over a check to Spider-Man,
Just make it out to this dude, Peter Parker. He manages my
Yeah,
finances, right?
he'll take care of
Yeah, right? He
it.
manages my finances and takes pictures of me for you. So,
Yeah.
double his salary, actually.
There you go.
Right? Yeah,
Exactly.
that's fucking funny. That's hilarious. All right, cool. So so we're in like the middle. All right, I like that. We don't have allegiance to any side. All right, cool. I don't gotta beat up the DC side of you now. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. What outside of comics influence you to not only create your own comic, but also create that character and that story?
I read a lot of cartoons, man. Me and my friend Miguel, who co-writes a book with me, we always talk about how it sucks that, like, there's no such thing as Saturday morning cartoons anymore. You know what I mean? And I feel like,
You're speaking my language. You're speaking my language right now.
and that was like a genre. Like, I mean, there were so many weird cartoons that came out of that, but it was just like, oh, but it's a Saturday morning cartoon. That was the best description of it, And a lot of that stuff came out of, wanting to do that again. Like we've talked about for years of doing like an anthology where we get different artists to create like short stories that are kind of in that vein of Saturday morning cartoons. Just feel like that's not a thing anymore, man. Like it's just like, oh, I mean, you could stream cartoons all day if you want now,
Yeah, there's a comic book publisher. I want to say TikTok Tom, but it's just like a collection of different artist stories and everything in a comic, and it feels like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Nice.
Almost like you remember Kablam, right? It's very, very similar to that.
Oh,
But
nice.
I say that all the time because I have kids. I don't know if you have kids.
No.
But one of the things is like when we were younger, I'm 34. How old are you?
41.
41. All right, cool. So when we were younger, it's like, yo, when you like everybody watched Saturday morning cartoons, there was really like three four channels that had Saturday morning cartoons. And you know, if you watched it, you can go to school the next morning and say, yo, did you watch Batman Beyond? Or did you watch Jackie Chan Adventures? Yo, did you see what Talmont did with the fucking talismans? Yo, that shit was fucking great. Like, you could do all of that shit. You can't really do that now. Like, there's no scheduled programming TV. It's just like, yo, like, I don't know. There's just like that mystique to it that made it awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, too, like, I think the modern cartoons, they're totally different. We're like, it's not a bad thing. It's just, it's very, like, it's so different than that. We're like, I think when older Saturday cartoons, they were like one episode, you had your adventure, and then it would reset. And so, like, the next episode, you didn't have to watch the previous one, but it still worked. Now, they're like these big epics, and which is cool. I can enjoy that. But it just, I don't know. I think it makes it a little harder for, like, kids to get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really watch I don't really watch cartoons. I mean, as like you would say, like a Nickelodeon or a Cartoon Network. I don't know if there's any new channels or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess like you go by the apps now. Yeah. But I'll watch, like, I watch DC, like, animated movies. Mm-hmm. I watch Young Justice, I'm big into anime, like, you know, that's my shit. But yeah, they're all just basically stories. There isn't anything that is just like an episode. It's like crazy shit and then shit difference. What I have watched is Cuphead. You ever watch Cuphead on Netflix?
I haven't seen that.
You have to watch that. If you like Saturday morning cartoons and like Looney Tunes and shit like that, Cuphead is fucking funny as hell. The animation is literally from the era of Looney Tunes and shit. It's a little bit like demonic theme, but not really, but it's for kids. But that's why I like it, because it reminds me of what we watched on fucking Nickelodeon and shit.
Yeah.
But that shit's good. That's probably like the closest that I watched to an actual cartoon.
Oh, I got you.
Cool. What was like your favorite cartoon growing up?
Oh, man, I was a big Turtles fan. Like, I was a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
Okay. I like it.
And I try to keep up with it. Like, you know, they've had so many series. And I'll watch them here and there. Have you seen the new movie?
No, I haven't. I have not. I gotta watch that. I forgot why I didn't go to the movies. I think I had something with, like, my kids. My kids are only 2 and 3, so I can't take them to the movie.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. But I heard it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think it's the first time in, like, freaking 40 years that the Turtles were actually teenagers, which is fun. You know, like,
yes,
yeah, you know, they played on that a lot more than any other series.
I mean, yo, there's a gap between 13 and 19. So, like, when I'm thinking of, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, my favorite version is the live action movie, the first one and the second one. Yeah. Like, they were almost like grown ass men, but they could have been 18, 19, right?
Yeah.
I guess, it's like your depiction on what teen is. But I do like the aspect of making them a little bit younger. I love some of, like, the New Yorker jokes that they throw in there. I actually just made a video on that shit today.
Oh, nice.
I also like the choices of the voiceovers for all of the other characters.
Yeah, they went really big. Really cool. Yeah, they went really big on that cast. It was crazy.
Yeah. I hope it did successful. I got to watch it. I may buy it on, like, my Apple TV or some shit like that.
Then they announced that they're doing a sequel, but there's going to be a Paramount Plus series that bridges the gap between the sequel and the current one and the sequel.
Good. I like that. They should start doing more shit like that. I think maybe Marvel was the first with, like, their series and the movies and shit. Mm-hmm. As long as they keep it the same quality. Don't dumb down the quality.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for.
Yeah.
Quality the same or even higher to, like, match it and shit, and you're fucking straight.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So is Gordo kind of like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like that aspect? I mean, the cartoon?
I mean, kind of. It's an adventure comic. It's, you know, old school superheroes. Basically, his whole thing is he's got the power of a flying saucer, and his town is, like, ground zero for aliens. There's aliens hiding all over the place. And we can explain why later on, but, like, you know, he just deals with it. Like, so he's basically a superhero. He's fighting these aliens. But there's this whole tricky thing where, like, there's this general who hunts aliens, and he's after him. He's after Gordo too, because he doesn't know what he is. He just sees, he sees this guy flying around. He doesn't know what he is. And there's this kind of like unspoken alliance where, whenever Gordo defeats an alien, he leaves it with the general because he's like, I don't know what to do with it. Like, I don't know. And it becomes this kind of this thing where it's like it's back and forth. It's gonna get pretty crazy.
Giving him the credit. I like it. I like
Yeah,
it. That's smart.
yeah,
That's smart. That's
yeah,
smart from a
exactly.
character wise. Did you see the alien that Mexico just released
Yeah.
or the images and shit?
Dude, I love the fact that they brought him out like in little coffins, right?
Bro, the most craziest, not even crazy in like a yo, this is so insane. It's just like, come on. Come
Yeah.
on. Like, be real. Like you like and I was watching and obviously there's always two sides to everything. There's the people that's like, yo, this is real, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that's, yo, this is fake, it's been debunked, whatever. And I'm always in the middle of shit, because that, like, when you're in the middle, like that gray area, that's where all the comedy like
Yeah.
lingers.
Yep.
And I always like making jokes out of any situation. Obviously not any situation. I don't want to, not stuff tragic, but this shit is fucking hilarious. Like the thing, like the alien is like a small little like Starburst size fucking
Yeah.
dried out. Fuck, I don't even know what it is. It was like, yo,
Yeah.
how could you possibly think that this thing was ever anything?
Yeah. Well, did you see
Crazy.
that? That you see the X-rays?
Yes, I
Yeah.
saw the X-rays. I
I
saw the
was
nip. I saw the nipple clamps that the fucking alien had. I saw the fucking hard-boiled egg that they're saying it
Yeah.
was pregnant. It's like, so how come the egg is just like a solid white color and every like, if it was a
Yeah.
fetus, like you would see it in the X-ray, like.
Yeah. I think the craziest thing though is the fact that it just kind of shows how crazy our world is right now. Is it this is the government, like this is the Mexican government doing this, and people are like, eh, all right, cool.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually the government had like a Mexican Congress or whatever it's called. They're having their hearing,
Yeah.
and this guy, I forget his name, he's actually bringing this. So this is like his making
Yeah.
or owning or whatever it is. So it's not the government saying, "Hey, this is what we have." No, this is they're giving the platform to this
Yeah.
guy to say, "Hey, this is the alien biologics that we have."
Yeah.
And like I said, it's like, yo, if that's the shit that we're supposed to be afraid of an alien invasion, sign me up for the military. I'm definitely getting at least a 200 body count. This is gonna be the easiest war that humans have ever had on the history of fucking Earth. That shit, it was fucking tiny as hell.
Weird looking, man.
Fucking weird. And I would expect the alien to be weird looking. And I hate the people who are like, oh, but you don't know what an alien looks like. Neither do you. We've had hundreds of movies of different variety of alien. They could have picked any one of these and they took that thing. It looks like if I threw like Vaseline on it, that it would just like disintegrate. Like it would be immediately freaking gone.
That's funny, man.
Insane, insane, man.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
thank God we have creators like yourself that can make way more interesting
There
stories around the
you
topic of aliens than what the freaking government is coming up with.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's funny, man. It is hilarious. But I do like the stuff that, and not to say that, I didn't see anything else from the Mexican hearing on it. I just saw that one thing. But I do like some of the stuff that we're talking about in the United States hearing about some of the UAPs and UFOs
Yeah.
that are flying around.
Yeah.
It's just kind of it's intriguing, it's interesting, it's scary. It's also
Yeah.
cool at the same time.
It's just crazy, man, how like it just happened out of nowhere. Like it's all these reports started popping up, and like it was just, did you hear about that thing in Vegas? Yeah.
I think I don't know. I don't speak Spanish, so
Yeah.
I can't tell what any of that. You're talking about the one where the police officer saw like the thing in the sky, and then the family was like, "Yo, there was aliens in our backyard and shit."
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't speak Spanish. So, and I should have asked some of my Spanish-speaking friends to translate, but like, I don't know what they're saying in that video. And the one kid who speaks English, she's the only one talking. So, I don't know. It's a crazy story. It's wild as hell.
Because the only thing I remember was he said something about that they were like 7 feet tall. Like they were talking about they're 7 feet tall and this and that. But then, like, what happened to that? Because then, no one talked about that afterwards, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I from what I was seeing, because I was paying attention to the news on it, that the family just up and left their house. So, you know, the boy was supposed to come out with footage of what he said he had, but he just fucking disappeared. So who knows, maybe they were just faking it and they like decided to up and leave because it was too hot. Or maybe some government entity or some private entity was like, yo, give us all of your shit in here and we're moving you to a specific location and you guys can't talk about any of this shit. I have no idea, but it's just another one of those things where it's like, fuck, yo, I wish we had answers and shit.
It's crazy. So nearby, a couple years ago, it was a while ago, there was this big Walmart near where my girlfriend lived, and out of nowhere they just closed it. Like they just shut it down with like no real explanation, and the pharmacy was left open, but they when you would walk inside, they built these huge walls so you couldn't see past the pharmacy,
Really?
and they were doing something right. I remember seeing a video about how Boeing used to have a factory right there, and they were saying that they were digging up freaking alien fucking spaceships.
I mean, yo, that's crazy. That's crazy. I could get very fucking nerdy right now. Get very fucking nerdy. So, Bob Lazar, have you ever heard of Bob Lazar?
No.
Oh my God, how have you never heard of Bob Lazar? All right, cool. I'm about to school you right now. So this is like in like the early 80s, like late 70s. Like there's another guy, I forget his name. Chris something, I don't know. But basically between him and Bob Lazar, they're like the two people who are like the first people to say that, hey, the government are working on UFOs, like they're real. Like there's a Roswell, New Mexico shit that happened that had witnesses. They saw bodies and UFOs, like everything. The police, a military came, cleaned it up, and said, "Oh, it was a fucking weather
Weather
balloon or
balloon,
some shit
weather
like
balloon,
that, you know, whatever." And then we didn't hear nothing for like years. But people still did like see shit or whatever. There was Betty and Barney Hill, which was compelling, which was crazy. There was also that other guy who's in Arizona, and I always forget his name too. We'll talk about him in a second. But Bob Lazar was basically the person who worked at S4, which is in Nevada, which is right near you. And basically, it was this facility to where they were back engineering these UFOs that they had discovered, from crashes to archaeological digs that they found UFOs or whatever. And Bob Lazar was basically like, they contacted him to work with them because he was driving around fucking Las Vegas in a Honda that had a that he built a rocket onto it. So
Oh,
he's
shit.
going like 800 miles per hour on the fucking I-75. I don't know whatever fucking highways in fucking on the West Coast. I'm from East Coast, man. I don't know shit over here. And so they were like, yo, we know you're a scientist. We know you're good at your shit. You went to this school. We're going to interview you. And if you know, you get to work on special projects. So he ends up getting a job. He goes into this facility. They have like this weird technology shit, like security system that he's never seen before, where it like measures the length of your bones through your hands in order to tell that it's specifically you. But he was like, all right, whatever. He gets in, he gets debriefed, and it's just like a whole bunch of pages on like random, like weird shit. And he keep in mind, he doesn't believe in UFOs. He doesn't believe in any of this shit. And then he gets into like the facility. He sees that it's very compartmentalized, like, and he's only working, I think, with like one or two other scientists, and that's it. Everybody else can't talk with each other. Nothing. Like, a security guard has to like wiggle your penis when you take a pee. Like, that's how the security there is. Right. So he goes into one of this hangar and he sees like a UFO, like a disc shaped whatever, but it's got like an American flag on it. So in his mind, he's like, oh, this is the shit that people see. Oh, the fucking military, like this is like a military, like, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, this is, you know, whatever. But things don't get real for him until he actually goes into the lab that he's working in and he sees like this device where you can't touch it. So it almost has like a force field over it. So then his mind, he's like, oh shit, like, no, like all of this is like real. And then the person that he's working with, he's like, yeah, this is what I do every day. It's like, I try to figure out this shit. He's like, we can't like touch it. He's like, we had one and we tried to cut into it. And let's just say the other scientists don't exist anymore. And he's just like, what the fuck? And then he gets to go into the actual spacecraft. So he says, like, this craft was built for, like, a 4 foot tall, like, almost like children. Like, it's not made for regular size humans. He's like, there's nothing, like, all over the walls. Like, he's like, it's almost like the spacecraft was, like, just, like, welded together. There's no screws, no belt, like, bolts or anything. And then he's like, when, like, you could sit in the chairs. Again, they're made for, like, children. But he's like, there's no screen. Like, you can't see outside. And then he explains some other shit. But basically, and then he starts to talk about the tests that they have. So they actually test flying it. And he says, like, he's like, this sounds like so weird when I explain it. But he's like, the inside of it becomes translucent so you can see outside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like there's no windows, but you can now see outside. And then he's also like, when you're outside, because he's like, I witnessed it. When you look at it, it's like it's not there. So he's like, it has some sort of device that is basically bending light to where it's like translucent on the outside. He's like, the weirdest shit like ever. So long story short, the way that he described how these UFOs and shit worked on that base. And remember, this is like in the late 70s, early 80s. He was like explaining how this shit worked. And how he got caught was he got drunk with some of his buddies and he was like, yo, you guys want to see some cool shit? He's like, yo, this is like, he was like, yo, let's go. We're going to go in the middle of the desert and we're going to go in this area and we're going to film. And he's like, they brought fucking beer, lawn chairs and everything because he didn't think he was going to get like in trouble. Like he didn't think that they were like in the area that was. And he showed his buddies and they were doing the tests with the fucking UFOs there. He ends up getting caught.
Yeah,
they fucking strip everything from him, gets fired. They also basically start to erase like his history. So they erase the fact that he worked there. They erase the fact that he graduated from the college that he graduated from. They start harassing it, like they go crazy on him. So then he comes out and basically with this guy, I forget the guy's name, but he's like prominent in the UFO community right now. He was actually at the current US hearing and basically spills the beans on everything. And a lot of what he talked about in that first interview from the 80s on how these things fly are how they're being described by the military today.
Wow.
Crazy. So being able to fly in specific areas, no inertia, no jet propulsion whatsoever, all of this crazy shit. So I just think it's like that, something like that, a story like that, super compelling.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Crazy. That's crazy, man.
Nuts, man. Nuts. I told you, I could get fucking super weird on you right now.
I feel you, man.
Yeah, man. But it's nuts. So back to the teenage flying saucer.
There you go. All right.
You ever watch that movie Flight of the Navigator?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. That was the first thing I watched when Disney Plus became a thing, because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. I saw it when I was a kid, but the craziest thing was I realized I had never seen like the first like 5-10 minutes of it. Like I remember him coming back and like all that stuff, but I don't remember the stuff before all that.
Shit, yo, that's fucking crazy. So you say that, I did the same exact thing when Disney Plus dropped. I was like, all right, let's see like what like movies they have on here that I haven't seen in years, and Flight of the Navigator was on there, and I told my wife, I was like, stop what you're doing, we're fucking watching this right now. It's like I like, and it's like you vaguely remember the movie, But then when you watch it, you're like, oh shit, I remember that. Oh, fucking Pee Wee Herman was the voice of the fucking UFO. Oh shit. Yo, rest in peace to fucking Pee Wee Herman, man.
Dude, that's crazy because that was like before he was Pee Wee Herman. That's basically the Pee Wee Herman voice. Like he was using.
Really?
Yeah. It was a couple years before
he was Pee Wee Herman? No way. Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta fucking look that up later. That's crazy.
And he was also the voice.
A legendary movie.
He was also the voice of the original pilot in the Star Tours ride at Disneyland.
Star Tours? What the hell was that?
That was cool. That was an old. I mean, they still have it, but it's a Star Wars themed ride where you're taking a shuttle. It's supposed to be like an airport. Like you're gonna go to a planet. And then something goes wrong, and you get caught in a big, like, freaking a Star Wars battle. It's pretty crazy.
Really? Shit. I don't fucking remember that.
Yeah.
And you said that's still there?
Yeah, still there. They've updated now. Now, like, 3CPO is, like, the pilot, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've done a ride definitely with C-3PO narrating it. I don't fucking remember that. That's fucking cool, man. Yeah, shit like that. So when you talked about your comic, that I don't know why, but that immediately came into my brain was Flight of the Navigator. A boy finds a fucking UFO and he's like flying around and shit.
Yeah, it was kind of like I think about it. Like I remember, I watched that movie a lot as a kid. I think I watched it on TV a lot because I always missed the beginning apparently.
Yeah. Even if you paid me to explain the beginning, I feel like the beginning, him and his brother were like sneaking into somebody. I can't even remember. I gotta watch that shit again now.
Yeah. That's a fun one, man. Yeah.
Very good movie. And then the next thing that your project reminded me of was, like I said before, Ben 10.
Did
you take any inspiration from Ben 10?
So I've always been a fan of the Men of Action. They created that. They created, what was the other one called? It's called Something Rex. But they wrote like Big Hero 6. They worked on a lot of the Disney animated stuff.
Okay.
And so I always liked that kind of stuff. I would read their comics and they got turned into cartoons. And so it was very like, I liked that whole like vibe of it. Like, you know, like the whole old school superhero. Like, it's literally like you got someone with powers dealing with bad people with powers, and you know, that just simple formula, you know.
Yeah, I like the aspect of kids with superpowers more than adults with superpowers.
Yeah,
I feel like kids have like really cool and dope adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's funny because I was talking to my girlfriend about this a while ago about how like they don't really do it as much anymore, but like they're teenagers. Like, if you had a straight teenager and they got superpowers, like, would they be good guys? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, because teenagers are very rebellious and, you know, like.
You see the movie Project X? That's how they would be with fucking superpowers. Most definitely. They're fucking juggling kegs and fucking, I don't know, they're doing crazy shit. Seeing who could drink, like, the water tower full of beer.
Yeah, right. Practice.
That's what they would fucking be doing. I feel like you have to be either like a super young kid to get your superpowers, and you also have to have good parents too. Otherwise, you'd be a super villain. And
you know
how those go. You know how those go.
Exactly.
Do you have more than one villain in your project, or is it just like one villain for the first story?
There's a couple. We're setting up a lot of things, and this is actually the first five issues is setting up like the first part of this bigger saga. And it's like me and Miguel always joke about how we have like 100 issues in mind already, you know. Story's huge. It's a big storyline.
How long does it take you? So you guys write it together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you guys to write?
It depends. Like honestly, we wrote these first five issues during the lockdown.
Hmm.
We actually had released issue one in 2019, and the plan was to do the next one like right away. But then everything went, you know, world changed, and so we decided, you know what, let's just sit down and write all five of the issues. And even when we did last year's Kickstarter, it was for issues 1 and 2. So when we did the first issue in 2019, it was meant for I host a show in East LA, like a comic expo,
Okay.
and so we wanted to premiere it there, and we kind of ran out of time. So like there was a couple pages that got cut because of that. So
Yeah.
when we did the Kickstarter in last year, we re-added those pages and we like extended it a little.
Okay. All right. Nice. Are you looking to get picked up by a publisher? Or are you looking to just be like self-promoted, self-indie?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know yet because we were talking about we could go either way at this point. But like we were talking about once we get the first 5 issues out and we have that nice little collection, like at that point we might start submitting it to publishers
Okay.
because I feel like that's a big market with like these little like graphic novels like that are all ages. Like
Yeah.
you see a lot of that in like Target and stuff like that now, and so I
Yes.
think that would be a
I've
big.
seen a lot of graphic novels for kids, like all kind of shit. And I'm like, where was this shit when I was younger? I used to get, like, parents would give me shit. My parents, teachers were like, you can't read books with just images. And now look at it. That's all that Target has right now.
Yeah,
Fucking
exactly.
crazy, man.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
But yeah, we've been talking about that, like trying to see if we can get to different markets and stuff,
Yeah. Okay, nice. You should check out Lesser Known Comics. I feel
Okay.
like your comic is like their speed. Obviously, I haven't read it yet, but just based on what you're telling me in the art style, like they have a comic, Tank McGregor, where it's like this bounty hunter that flies around space, but is like so much comedy. He's like trying to hunt down this robot, like prostitute. Like, obviously it's
Oh.
more adult rated, but
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
still, I feel like it's something that I would see on like a Saturday morning cartoon. Maybe Adult Swim, because
Yeah,
again, it's a
yeah.
little bit, but. Yeah, I feel like your comic kind of like fits in with their style. But
Oh, cool.
again, that's obviously as like you go along, and if you're looking for a publisher and shit like that. But yeah, man, I always want to point people out and make sure that whoever that I'm speaking with, just do whatever you want, have the most success possible, man.
No, I feel you for sure, man.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. Is there any other projects that you guys are planning on writing down the road?
We have a lot of ideas, but this is our main focus right now is this book. Like a lot of people from the last campaign and everyone that has read it, they've been a big fan of Goro's friend Cece. She's a shape-shifting like bounty hunter alien, and we've been talking about doing like a spin-off of with her at some point.
Okay.
Just 'cause I think a lot of people are big fans of that character. Like we'll create these stickers, and hers is always like the most popular ones.
Okay. What's like your favorite alien of all time? It could be anything. It could be adult rated aliens. It could be something like funny, like something
Yeah.
stupid. Like what's your favorite alien?
It's funny you said that. For some reason, I've been on this elf kick recently.
Well, I was not expecting that, yo. Elf is, see, now we're really dating ourselves. Like, I don't know,
Right.
like the age range of my audience, but
Yeah.
you mentioned Elf, like, yeah, now we're getting into fucking like, oh yeah, we're 30 and above over here.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been getting to that recently. I think it was on like Peacock or something, and I ended up watching like 11 episodes straight without even noticing,
That's crazy. That's crazy. I haven't seen Alf in so. He was so weird. I felt like I was scared of him when I was younger.
Yeah.
I definitely was scared of him when I was younger. I felt like when I was sleeping at night and it was like dark, that Alf was just standing in the corner menacingly looking at me with that fucking massive nose and the teeth and the dark
Yeah.
eyes. Yeah, he was creepy as fuck.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that too, because as I'm watching it, it's kind of unnerving when you see him walk around
It
or you
fucking
see
is,
him. Right.
right? Oh, he's like a puppet and he's shorter than everybody else. And yeah, creepy as fuck, man. But the show is also funny at the same time. And he ate cats, right?
He tried to, yeah. He in his home planet, he ate cats.
Yeah,
But
fuck
he
cats. I hate cats
was.
anyway. You can eat cats all you want, man. That's why I eat China. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No,
Oh.
I'm joking. I'm going too far right now. I'm going too far. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So we got Elf. I don't even know who's my favorite alien. Shit, man. I definitely like the Xenomorphs.
Yeah, they're classic. Classic
They
design.
scared the fuck out of me. My dad let me watch Alien 2. He didn't let me watch it, but like he didn't tell me to get out of the room at the same time. And I just remember when Ripley was in the shower and the alien was like coming from the side, and
Yeah.
that shit burned into my memory and got me like I was so scared. And then as I got older, so fascinated with that alien.
Yeah.
It's fucking unconventional. It's like
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
this weird ass predator-esque, I mean, not knock on wood, pun intended, no pun
Yeah.
intended, but this weird ass fucking alien that looks disturbing. It doesn't look like anything that you've ever seen. It's fucking fast, dangerous. Its blood is acid. It's fucking cool.
Yeah. That's cool,
They should
man.
have the that M Mexican government should have hired whoever created the Xenomorphs. If they showed that shit, the whole world would be on fire right now. What fucking Xenomorphs are out there? Are you kidding me? We got mummified fucking Xenomorphs just laying in Peru? Fucking, yeah. You thought the riots during COVID was bad. That definitely would be happening right now.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, fucking crazy, fucking crazy. But cool, man, cool. Yo, Peter, this was fun, man. This
For
was
sure.
fun. I like what you have going on. I like what your project is. I like that it's not so serious. I like that it's for kids. I like that it's something that's cool. It's like this kid gets superpowers from a UFO. Like that's dope, man. So much potential there, man. But yeah, plug your project, talk about your project, promote your Kickstarter, and then we'll get out of here and we'll
Cool,
stay
man.
back for Patreon.
Cool. So you could find everything at Teenage Flying Saucer. So like all the social media, the website, it's all Teenage Flying Saucer. The links for the Kickstarter will be on all that stuff.
Cool. There you go. And I will have the link in all of the description. YouTube, podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, I mean Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to, we appreciate you guys. Peter, I appreciate you hopping on, man, and chatting up with me. This is a
Yeah,
long
man.
time to make, and I know you're
Yeah.
supposed to be like my second interview, bro, but it's no
Oh.
big deal. No big deal, man. And pleasure having you on.
Thank you for having me, man.
Excited to read your project, man. And anytime that you have something that you want to promote, or if you just want to hang back and kick it and hop on for another fucking episode, you're always welcome, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you guys later. Peace.